MoveCast.
Welcome to one more episode of the WoofCast. On this episode, I'll be interviewing Beck Young. Beck is the coordinator of Woof Canada and involved very much in the Federation of Woof Organization operations. Hello, Beck. How are you?
Hi, Rodrigo. I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me today.
You're very welcome. We work quite often together, myself and Becky, as she's very involved on the Federation. But now she can maybe talk a little bit about your personal life. Who is Becky?
Sure. I'm someone who likes to travel. I got bitten by the bug when I was very young, in my early 20s. And at the same time, though, I spent a lot of time with my family camping in the mountains, and I've always had an urge and a desire to live very simply and live in the country and learn how to be self-sufficient. And that bug also stems from a book I read as a young child. And it may seem a little silly, but it's true. This story really resonated with me. It was called My Side of the Mountain. And it was a story about a young boy who ran away from home, ran away from the city to go live in the forest. And he built himself a home in a hollow tree and learned how to forage for food and make his own clothing, and the animals became his friends. And that story still resonates with me today. So that love of travel and that love of living a simple life and learning how to be self-sufficient has always resonated with me. And I still strive for that.
Interesting. It's nice how the books and movies have lots of influence on people. Have the classical On the Road that inspired a lot of people traveling to. Recently, there's another movie, Into the Wild. Not recently, there are a lot of years, but I could see lots of young people traveling a bit alternative after the Into the Wild movie. Quite interesting.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
And Beck, where did you first heard about Woof?
Well, in my early 20s, I and a friend, a partner, traveled to Australia. We were gone for a year. And while in Australia, we were looking for something to do and searching through the newspapers for some ideas. And we saw an ad for farm work in exchange for room and board. And we thought that sounded really interesting, so we decided to give it a try. And over the course of the next 9 months, we ended up visiting three different farms in three different areas around Australia and had amazing adventures living in the country, working with animals, learning how to shear sheep, learning how to drive a tractor, working with pigs, and I don't know, just had a lot of fun riding horses, working with cattle. And of course, always having gardens and eating fresh food, all right from the farm. So we had great adventures there, and that was my first exposure to Woof.
Nice. And what's the connection of your first involvement with Woof as a volunteer and your connection with Woof Canada organization?
Well, eventually, my husband and I moved to British Columbia, where we were able to buy our first piece of land. So starting to realize my dream, it didn't happen till I was in my early 30s, and we bought a couple of acres and began to grow our own food, learn how to be more self-sufficient on our own land. But at the same time, I was still working as an IT consultant, and I actually got hired by Woof Canada. And I was working with John, who was the founder of Woof Canada, for about a year, just helping him modernize his office procedures, etc. And John was looking to retire, and he offered me to take on the coordinator position for WWF Canada, which I was very excited to do. Having WWFed in my younger years and having a goal in our lifetime to learn to live self-sufficiently, WWF felt like a really good fit. And I was very excited to take on the coordinator position. So that also involved getting to know all the other WWF organizations around the world. And yeah, that's where I first began with WWF Canada.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's yeah. Well, it says quite the standard route that all of us get involved in the coordination of the WWF movement. It's not like a company that you have announcement posts like we need somebody to do this or that. It's like we got through the hosting or through the volunteering door somehow. More involvement, and all the time we get so much in love for this. But it's not like let's say a normal job position to work for the WWF movement, I guess. I don't know if you agree with me.
I do totally. It's more like family, more like community, and you do get to know the hosts and the WWFers and all the other coordinators working for WWF around the world, and it's much more than a job. It's a love of WWF, for sure.
WWF Canada have a very important role in the federation. Can you explain a little bit about this? How WWF Canada get more involved with the Federation of WWF Organizations?
Well, I took over the coordination of WWF Canada in 2010. And immediately started connecting with other WWF groups around the world just to learn more about WWF and how they operate. And WWF USA hosted a international meeting in San Francisco in 2012, which we were excited to attend. And it was an amazing opportunity to actually meet all the coordinators from around the world in face-to-face. And together, we worked to form the Federation of WWF Organizations. So it was very exciting to be part of that, and the excitement of taking WWF forward to more collaboration amongst all the other organizations. And yeah, I've kind of been involved ever since as a director. I was treasurer for quite a number of years in the beginning, working on the IT committee for a number of years. And now I manage the insurance that's available for WWFers through the Federation, and work on a few other committees like HR and participate where I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very appreciate your help. I have here a hot topic. Most of the WWF organizations around the world, they are not for-profit organizations. But Canada, despite being managed as a not-for-profit organization, it's officially registered as a company. Can you explain us why?
When John offered me to take over WWF Canada, he had incorporated the business, I'm assuming to protect his personal liability. And he was offering WWF for sale. So indeed we did purchase it. So even though WWF has always run, WWF Canada has always run as a family, small family operation by John, we continued to do it that way. There was the technical aspect in order to purchase it. But certainly as I've worked with WWF over the years, although I do see a number of different legal structures, I do feel that nonprofit or some sort of social association is the best way for WWF. And as I'm moving into retirement very soon, I have also been researching options of how to transition WWF Canada to a social benefit organization. And I'm also working with the Federation. They're helping me with you know, how others have done it and how we can take it forward as well. So we are working on options, and we hope to see that transpire over the next few years.
Amazing, really nice. This is one of the challenges for the future of WWF Canada, in your opinion?
Well, as the Federation of WWF has formed, and we see increasingly more and more collaboration between the WWF groups around the world, we have learned of great initiatives that support the growth of the WWF communities in each country. And I think the challenge for a small operation is to have the resources to implement these strategies, but it can be done with the support of the other groups. And I think that collaboration is key, and WWF Canada will work to continue to collaborate with other organizations, and we'll make those strategies happen bit by bit.
Yeah, this is of the magics of working for a group of non-profit organizations, in my opinion, that the objective of WWF, of the national organization, is not make money, but the objective is to give a better service to our members. So the way we work internally, like the big organizations have a huge role on financing the federation itself, and the federation itself will provide the same level of service to all of organizations around the world. Doesn't matter if it's big or if it's small. So in the end, it's kind of, if thinking purely about money, it's like a huge transfer of funds from the big ones to small ones. I don't know if you share the same feeling as I have.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what the Federation of WWF Organizations has provided. It has provided that support to all the WWF groups, and it has brought us together so that we can share the resources, share the knowledge, and it plays a huge part in, I think, the continued success and growth of our WWF communities in every country.
And then coming back to Canada, how's the situation of winter in Canada? Is the most of the WWF hosts are still receiving volunteers during the winter?
Yes, absolutely. WWF hosts in Canada take volunteers all year round. And on a farm, as you probably know, there's, especially if you have animals to care for, they need help and caring for all year round. And because it's a little chilly in winter, we need lots of firewood to keep our houses warm. So there's always that task to do. And when you have a farm, the work never ends. There's always building projects, maintenance projects, all kinds of help is needed throughout the winter. And besides helping hands for those tasks, also winter is a lot of fun. Snow is a lot of fun. Things that we like to do in Canada, like tobogganing or sledding, as others might know it by, skiing, snowshoeing, or just simply walking through the magical forests that are weighted down by beautiful, pure white snow. I highly recommend.
Looks like really a nice picture.
Yeah, absolutely.
It reminded me that the puzzles with a beautiful snow forest.
Yeah, exactly. So you can enjoy all four seasons woofing in Canada, for sure. They are very distinct.
Are there any maple syrup farms?
Yes, and not only maple syrup. I learned after being involved with our woof hosts in Canada that there's also other tree sap that's used for syrup, like pine syrup, and others besides just maple. But yeah, that usually happens, I believe, in early spring is when the trees are tapped for syrup.
Okay, looks a very fresh pancakes with maple syrup.
Absolutely.
And probably we'll meet in Canada next year. You're organizing the next International Coordinators Meeting in Canada.
Yes, we're very excited to be hosting the next meeting. We have a location in Quebec that we're getting ready. It's only a year away, and that year will go very fast, I'm sure. So we're looking forward to inviting all the coordinators from around the world to join us there. And I'm also a bit sentimental about this meeting because it probably will be my last, as I'm moving into retirement soon from WWF Canada. So I'm really going to miss all the people I've met throughout WWF, but we still intend to keep our hands in it because we do plan to travel and do WWFing and meet WWF hosts around the world. So we're not done yet.
Yeah, and meeting WWF coordinators around the world. You have plenty of people to visit, Becky.
Exactly.
Yeah, it would be amazing to meet everybody next year. We do meet every three years. We tend to have these international meetings. We don't do more often due to financial situations because it gets expensive, and due to ecological situation too. We don't want to be flying around so often, but we kind of give this luxury for everybody to meet every 3 years because it's very important to meet face by face. We work sometimes daily, sometimes weekly, or at least monthly with everybody. And this opportunity to meet everybody is extremely important to keep our network working. And on top of this, I have the feeling that the new WWF organizations, when they go to these meetings, they really gain that final boost that they need to develop the organizations. So yeah. So hopefully see you in October in Canada.
Yeah. And another thing too is, I think because a lot of us, I believe, work remotely and often singly. So that opportunity to get together is wonderful, to really get to brainstorm together and spend some time together, getting to know each other on a different level than you do when you're working remotely. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to next year.
And do you have any recommendations for the new hosts?
Well, as organic farmers and growers, they have critical knowledge to share. And we need to grow our next generation of new farmers, especially sustainable farmers. And that knowledge is quickly lost, as I see a lot of, or what has been the trend in more recent years, is that a lot of children of farmers and growers are not taking over the family farm, and it's being lost. It's being scooped up by large corporation, conventional type farming operations. But with WWF, I do see a new trend. I see young families now taking up land and wanting to farm and grow. And so having our hosts provide that knowledge to WWFers, it then creates a new generation of organic farmers. So I do hope that those who have that knowledge and ability to share do take up the opportunity to become a WWF host, because it is creating something that's important for us all.
Wow, really interesting. Yeah. It's actually one of my main motivations to work on WWF is to let this open door for people, especially people from the cities. If they want to come to the countryside, we offer the network. You know, they just need to come, and the network is here ready to receive them. And you see so many ex-woofers living the countryside, or buying farms or sharing farms with people. It's really, I love to give this opportunity to people.
And it also works in reverse too. So even though the hosts are giving to the woofers and sharing that knowledge, woofers bring a lot to the farm family as well. And we hear so many wonderful stories about how Canadian hosts have been welcomed by their past woofers visiting their families in France, Italy, Germany, and other places around the world. And we hear stories of marriage as well between woofers and coming back to Canada and starting their own farm. Yeah, there's lots of wonderful stories.
Yeah, beautiful. Becky, I think you're done with this interview. Thank you so much for participating. We had you struggle a lot with technical problems with this interview. It took a long time to get out. Hopefully this one will be published. And yeah, thank you for joining us, Becky.
Thank you very much, Rodrigo. Have a great day.
See you. Ciao, ciao. Movecast.